I'd like to talk to you some more today on the subject of aging. Now, I know that some people want to deny it, and some want to delay it, and some are even trying to defy it, but the reality is aging is something that progresses relentlessly, whatever we do about it. Socrates said that the unexamined life is not worth living. Now, if aging is an integral part of living, I submit to you that if we want to examine our lives, we need to examine the whole issue of aging. And that's what we're trying to do. We've been looking into Scripture, and we've noticed a couple of verses that I think, in a wonderful way, put their finger right on the issue of aging. One of the verses is found in the ancient book of Ecclesiastes, where it talks about when a person dies, the body returns to the dust, but the spirit returns to God who gave it. And what it reminds us of course, is that from one point of view, we are material people living in a material world, and we will see that the material world and all material people in it are subject to decay. But we are spiritual as well. And so what we should be looking for is two things happening in our aging process. One, we recognize from a material point of view a certain diminishing. But on the other hand, from a spiritual point of view, there should be a growing, a maturing, a developing, with the whole objective, of course, of ultimately knowing what it is to be in the presence of God who gave us the Spirit. The other verse, of course, is one that comes from the writings of the Apostle Paul, who said, outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And here we have those two movements that are going on simultaneously, but moving in opposite directions. I submit to you, if we're going to think seriously about living, we think seriously about aging. If we're going to think seriously about aging, we're going to think about the material dimension of diminishing and the spiritual dimensions of growing and maturing. That's basically what we've been talking about so far. Now, I'd like to focus a little more now on this idea of being renewed daily, what it means to be experiencing the life of the Spirit. God is in the renewal business. Let me explain that to you as quickly as I can. There are four key words when we think in terms of Christian theology or Christian truth. And those four key words are creation, fall, redemption, and glory. Now, I'd love to spend an hour on each of those four words. I'm going to spend a few minutes on it. We'll gallop through it. But I hope you'll get a certain picture here of God being in the renewal business. Creation. If I accept the fact that this world is not infinite, that it had a beginning and it will have an end, then it's not too difficult for me to think in terms of the possibility of a creator. Some people believe in the beginning God was. Other people say in the beginning God wasn't. Either way, it's a matter of faith. I choose to believe in the beginning God existed, an eternal being, independent of, not at all subject to, the creation that he brought into being, separate from it. And part of that creation is the creation of humanity. Scripture tells us that humanity is the pinnacle of the divine created order, that all aspects of the created order are interrelated, including humanity. We clearly have an affinity with the material world, but we are separate from it as well. We were given the responsibility not only of being material parts of a material world, but we were given the privilege of having a unique relationship with God himself. We were made in the image of God. Nothing else in the created order had that great privilege. That means, of course, that we operate simultaneously in the realm of the material and the realm of the spiritual. Now, God said right from the very beginning that he created man to love him, to honor him, to trust him, and to serve him. But he gave him the opportunity of choosing not to do that. But he said if they choose not to love, honor, serve, and obey God, there would be consequences. And the consequences would logically be they would be separated from a holy God who could not be involved in people who were rejecting his holiness and rejecting his sovereign rule in their lives. The result of that would be they would be separated from the source of life. And to be separated from the source of life is death. And that is, of course, the curse that exists in the world as we know it. Romans chapter 8 explains this very graphically. Let me just read this for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Now, it talks about the creation being subject to the bondage of decay. There is decay in this world of ours. This universe of ours, of course, so dependent on the sun, we know that the energy of the sun is gradually diminishing, and we can well imagine in some indeterminate time the whole thing would grind to a halt. Well, that is the process that's going on. Human beings are part of that decay. They're part of that slowing down, the diminishing. And so the first key word is creation, where human beings were created uniquely by God for God. They rebelled against God, and that leads them to the second word, which is fall. The result of the fall, as we saw this in one of the earlier sessions, is that we are not only fallen, we are frail, and we are finite. But God looks at his fallen creation, and particularly at his fallen and finite and frail humanity, and says, that's my world, and I want it back. And he sends Jesus into the world. We know the story of Jesus' life, and his crucifixion, of his death, and his resurrection. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, he dealt with death. He dealt with sin. He dealt with the arch sinner, if you like, the devil himself. And he dealt with all the things that defeat us in our humanity. And he then said, and I am making all things new. This is God in the renewal business. And when we think in terms of those four words, creation, fall, redemption, when we come to the point of God looking at his fallen world and announcing, I'm making all things new, we're talking about redemption. We're talking about renewal. We're talking about God sending Jesus to rescue a fallen, finite, frail, created world, including our humanity. Now then, when God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, he didn't leave him dead. He raised him from the dead, defeated everything that defeats us at that particular time, and said at that particular time that he was now doing a new thing. And the resurrection of Jesus introduces God in his renewal mode, getting hold of that which is fallen and getting hold of it in such a way that it can be forgiven and the work of renewal could be completed. Now, the work of renewal will, of course, be completed after we die. But Scripture says this, that when we identify with the risen Christ, something wonderful happens to us. Romans 8 again. This is what it says. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So, here's the picture. When a person understands that Christ died and rose again for them and wants to give their lives to Christ, first of all, to be forgiven and cleansed, and then to start the process of renewal, then God sends his spirit into that redeemed person's life. And it is the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead. What a wonderful picture this is. Can you imagine a bigger problem facing anybody than the problem facing God when his son is dead and buried and sealed in the tomb? And can you imagine God simply sweeping away that problem, demonstrating his mighty power, raising Christ from the dead and saying, behold, I am doing a new thing? Well, this spirit, the spirit whereby God raised up Christ from the dead in his great renewing power, actually comes to live within the humblest person who is going through aging, who is going through all the processes of diminishing. But at the same time, the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead has taken up residence in their aging body, in their aging abilities. And the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead now comes in his mighty transforming power. And he begins a whole work of transformation, a whole work of renewal. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now, this verse in Romans chapter 8 tells us, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in us, then that same spirit is the one who will raise us or give life to our mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in us. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not just active in the life of the forgiven sinner, doing a transforming work, but he's going to continue to be active in eternity. For in eternity, after those who have committed themselves to Christ finally die, remember, that's going to happen. When they finally die, in a coming moment, in a coming eternity, God will gather all the people who are redeemed to himself. They will all see Jesus, and the slow work of transformation by the Spirit will be completed. For when we see Jesus, we will be like him, home at last. But not only that, we will be given new bodies like Christ's resurrection body. The thought of your body diminishing and declining and dying and going down to dust is an awful thought. If that was the end of the story, it isn't. The same Spirit who raised up Christ from the dead will raise up your mortal body. Okay, notice very carefully, it says your mortal body, and give you life that will be ideally suited to the new world. So now we see God finishing his work of redemption, his work of renewal, for he will have now gathered around his risen Son, glorified in the place of honor, millions upon millions of people who came to the point of repenting of their sin, trusting themselves to Christ, receiving Christ by his Spirit to indwell them, the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, on the understanding that when they die, they will see Jesus, be like him, and granted new bodies like Christ's resurrection body. What are we going to do with them? We're going to live then in the new heavens and the new earth. God is in the renewal business, and he is busy working towards an eternal kingdom where he will be seen to be all in all. He will be acknowledged as the sovereign Lord, Christ will be at his right hand and gathered around this throne in the new heavens and a new earth will be the people who've experienced his renewal power in their lives. God is in the renewal business. Now, somebody's going to say, well, that sounds a bit like pie in the sky when you die. Well, there's a sense in which it is, but that's only part of the story. That is what God has reserved for eternity, and we can't mess with that. He is going to do what he's going to do in eternity. But we do have a say in what goes on between when we first come to Christ and when we stand before him in eternity. And what that is all about is this renewal experience that is going on, where as we are aging, we are being renewed by the Spirit. We know that the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in us. In fact, Paul in Romans chapter 8 goes even further. He says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not a believer. So in other words, that which distinguishes the believer from the unbeliever is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And remember, it's the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead. So what do you expect to see? What we expect to see when the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead indwells us is simply a work of renewal, a work of transformation. There's a very interesting statement in the letter to the Colossians. It says that we have an old life that it calls the old man, and we have a new life that it calls the new man. And it says that we should be putting off the old man and putting on the new man that is being renewed day by day. Now notice there's a putting on and there's a putting off here. This is something that we do. God, by his Spirit, is at work within us. He is looking for us to be united in his cause, in identifying with him. The picture of in Colossians, putting off and putting on, is very apt. It's rather like a man who's been working out in the garden all afternoon. It's a very hot day. He's worked quite hard. He's got quite sweaty. But eventually he finishes his work. He gathers the produce that he's grown and brings it all in to his loving wife, who then begins to clean it and cook it for dinner. While she does that, he goes into the bathroom, takes off his gardening clothes, has a shower, and then puts on his fresh clothes and comes and sits down for dinner. He puts off the old garments, he puts on the new. What we're called to do is to recognize that we are made anew in Christ. Behold, I'm in the renewal business, God says. He has renewed us. We are new creations in Christ. Now he says, live like it. And what that means is intentionally put off all the residue, all the trappings of the old life. Put them off, put them off, put them off. And at the same time, put on, clothe yourself in the new life, in the Spirit that God has made available to you. Well, how do we do that? Well, Scripture also tells us in Corinthians that the Spirit of God has inspired the Word of God for us. And as we look into the Spirit-inspired Word of God, with the indwelling Spirit helping us to understand the inspired Word of God, we see in the Scriptures Christ in all his beauty. We see him in his humanity. We see him in his deity. We see him as a living example. We see him as our Lord and our Savior, the lover of our souls. We see him in the person of the Holy Spirit, closer than breathing to us. And as we see him in the Scriptures, inspired by the Spirit, interpreted by the Spirit, we are being slowly but surely transformed into his image. God says, I'm in the renewal business. Now, what we need to be doing is asking ourselves some questions about all this. Do I know what it is to have come to Christ, acknowledge my sin, sought this forgiveness and the loving kindness and grace and mercy of God, recognize that it isn't just a matter of sins forgiven so I can go to heaven when I die. It's a matter of God saying, I'm making all things new, including you. And we're opening ourselves up to the transforming work of the indwelling Spirit on the understanding that the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead will do a work of transformation in us day by day down here, on the understanding that ultimately, finally, eternally, and irrevocably, we will be given through that same Spirit a new body that raises our old body. And now, with that thought in mind, we are thrilled about the prospects that lie ahead of us. New heavens, new earth, new creations, new bodies, ideally suited to the new environment. And with this in mind, we set about living our life down here. Stands to reason, doesn't it? That if our objective, if our goal is that new heaven, a new earth, a new body, a God making all things new, if that's where we're heading, we want to be actively involved in the process right now before we get there. And that, of course, is what we mean by outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Now you say, You haven't really been talking about aging very much, have you? I said, oh, yes, I have. Because, you see, I've said enough about the body aging. What I'm talking about now is the Spirit aging. I'm talking now about the Spirit returning to God who gave it. That's the ultimate. But the process is the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. And our involvement in that, we have put off the old man, we keep on putting on the new man who is being renewed daily by the indwelling Spirit. Well, we'll talk more about this and some of the practical implications of what it means to be outwardly wasting away, but inwardly being renewed day by day. God bless you.